Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Use the promo code Locked On at MyBookie.ag. I am joined by the effervescent Trevor Sikema, my co-host.
Wow, that was good.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
I did not. I didn't know which way you were going to go because yesterday
I'm back to positives.
You weren't about it. I didn't know if you were going to go back to it or what, but no, this was good. That was great.
Trev, you got some competition in the hair game today on the podcast because joining us from Pro Football Focus is senior analyst Mike Renner, who also co-hosts the Pro Football Focus podcast. He is thebomb.com and he knows his stuff. We've talked to him down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. We talk all the time on Twitter, and he is going to challenge your hair game today as the best hair game on the pod. Mike, you still got that long flowing mane of yours?
Or I do. I don't think it's as good as Trevor's, though. It's just more, I'm a little too lazy. I don't keep it up like he does tonight. It's nice.
I think I do a little bit more like maintenance work with mine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, for
like,
sure.
If John wouldn't have introduced it like that, I would have said that we would have been joined by perhaps the only guy in the draft game who has better hair than me. So.
Perhaps. But Mike is in the draft game, and we brought him on today because he spends so much time studying tape and watching these guys and charting plays and all kinds of stuff for Pro Football Focus that it's really good to get a guy like that's perspective, because as much as we want to watch Trevor, you cover the Bucs, I cover the Steelers, we cover college football, you know, we're talking about those guys, the guys that are going to be in the upcoming class. We see a good bit of rookies here and there, but I want to talk to a guy who's seen more consistently, who's seen a lot of snaps throughout the season, the snaps that we may have missed. And Mike, I want to start, if we can, by talking to you about and asking you about Deshaun Watson. Where were you on him heading into this college or this draft and then this NFL season? And how has he performed based or versus your expectations of kind of what he would be as a rookie?
Yeah, I had him second quarterback on my board. I still thought he was a first rounder. I wasn't slam dunk, take him at the top of the draft guy. I wasn't that way with Trubisky either, though. But he's definitely then exceeded my expectations, because I thought he was a guy who would see his struggles right away. I thought that game against the Bengals, where he was sort of struggling on a short week, was who we would see for a more extended period of time. But I think the positives, the biggest positive that has translated quickly to the NFL, is the fact that he's willing to give his receivers a chance when it's a favorable situation, not necessarily one-on-one type of situations. He gives his wide receivers a chance. He's a playmaker, and that was true in college, and it's true now.
Yeah, I think one of the keys with Watson is, you know, when you're talking about him translating over from college to the NFL and seeing the way that he's developed, it's just it's not even so much a development thing, is it just the mental capacity that he had to be able to play fast in college. At first in the NFL preseason, it didn't really look like he was going to be there, and then it was kind of, as time passed and you saw him play more and more, that same, you know, kind of mental processing he had, that quickness that he had from the pocket seemed to be able to translate to the NFL as well. So that mental aptitude, I think, for him was just such a big part of his evaluation. And people wondered kind of the opposite about Deshaun Kizer, it seemed like. You know, they were like, is Deshaun Kizer, you know, is he able to pick up on all this stuff quickly? You know, because there was some question about his confidence, but also a question about his ability to manage the Notre Dame offense, step into a leadership role right away. We've seen him come into the NFL. We've seen flashes of really good stuff, and now he's back as the Browns starter, but he also got benched, and he also hasn't played well, and he's made poor mistakes. What about him pre-draft? Where were you at with Deshaun Kizer, and how has he played compared to what your expectations were for him coming in?
So I was really low on Kizer. I went to Notre Dame, and I've seen him. Like, I've seen every single throw of his over the past, you know, 3 years. And I just did not love – there were two big things that I was so low on him coming out that I just thought were going to make his transition to the NFL difficult, and not sure if he ever could, you know, fully develop into a starting quarterback. The one biggest thing was his – just time in the pocket, his ability to – work quickly. Basically, he was incredibly slow, I thought, he would pass up a lot of easy stuff, was always holding on to the ball there at Notre Dame. And that worked in 2015 when they had the best offensive line in college football. And it didn't work in 2016 when all of a sudden a lot of those guys were gone. Ryan Stanley was gone, and he didn't have nearly as much time. Mm-hmm. So that to me was one of the biggest things. And then the second biggest thing was just short area accuracy. He missed so many hitches, so many, you know, little underneath stuff. He would overthrow underthrow, miss behind guys on shallow crossers. And I think we've seen kind of both of those translate to the NFL. He had the longest time to throw of any quarterback. And that offensive line's really good there in Cleveland. It's still been pass protecting very well for him. He's just taking a lot of sacks still and doing a lot of the same things we saw in college.
Let's get into some of the skill guys, and we'll start off with running back. I mean, this running back class was touted as obviously an incredibly talented running back class. You thought that there were going to be a handful of guys who could come in and really help some teams out, but like, holy crap, man, this soon, like what Kareem Hunt was doing and what Dalvin Cook is doing and how the Panthers are seeing flashes from McCaffrey and what Fournette's like, so on and so on. So what was your thoughts about the running back class going in? Who were kind of your guys? And even if you want to get to some of the guys in the later round that I didn't mention that are playing really well, who are some of your guys? And just, I guess, what's your impressions of running backs contributing so early overall in today's NFL?
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of the position. Running backs are going to translate quickly because there's not really, you're running the same stuff. You know, in college, you're even though some concepts, you know, will differ, a lot of it is, you know, it's simple reads, and you should be able to translate very quickly to the NFL. You see guys like Adrian Peterson change teams, and all of a sudden he's thrust into the offense getting 30 carries because it's the same stuff. You know, everyone's running the same things. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to translate quickly. And I didn't expect Kareem Hunt to be as good as he is right away. I don't think anyone expects, you know, even if he would have been the number one overall pick, no one would have expected him mm-hmm. to be this good. He's been out of this world, but I was high on it. We had him as a second rounder. I was comfortable taking him there. I think he was about fourth or fifth running back on my board, which is no shame considering who the other guys were in this class. Yeah. But he's been unbelievable for that Kansas City offense in terms of what he can do as a runner and as a receiver. The guy who I am sort of who I was incredibly low on compared to the rest of the NFL or just the rest of the community was Leonard Fournette. I thought he was a late second rounder at best, in my opinion. Mm. He has surprised me in his ability to run with patience. He is far more patient. I still think he has a ton of runs where he sort of could do more if he was a little more patient. He attacks the line of scrimmage, and that's been good for Jacksonville because it keeps getting him in. You know, he's getting positive yards play after play, but I do think he, in the long run, I just don't see the value of where he was selected. It's a little too early for me to mm-hmm. say one way or the other if that top five pick was warranted. The guy who I've probably been disappointed in the most and who I was high on was Joe Mixon. The thing that worried me about him in college was his sort of indecision in the backfield. He mm-hmm. almost the opposite of Leonard Fournette in that he wouldn't take the 3 yards that was there. If he would go for the 10-yard run instead of the 3-yard run, and behind an offensive line like they have in Cincinnati, you really can't do that. You can't be dancing in the backfield hoping to get that 10 yards because it's not going to show up ever mm-hmm. with the run blocking they have. And so for me, if he doesn't run behind a really good offensive line, I just think he's going to be a guy like Trent Richardson, like someone who just not going to be successful consistently mm-hmm. behind a line like that. So that to me is probably my biggest miss at the moment. I had him as, I think, my second running back behind Dalvin Cook, who was lights out before he got injured, which too bad he did.
Yeah, we've got two rookies at the top of the NFL, leading the NFL in rushing, Kareem Hunt and then Leonard Fournette second. And then, of course, Dalvin Cook would be in that mix, I'm sure, had he not been injured at the pace he was working at. Mike, Trev and I have had a lot of conversations on here about Christian McCaffrey and where he was selected versus the fact that we like him versus the fact that is he valuable enough? Is what he does ever going to be valuable enough to warrant a top 10 pick? I think if I remember, Carolina took him 9th or 8th, 9th, 10th, something, somewhere in that range. And we've had a lot of conversations about, is Christian McCaffrey ever going to be worth that type of a selection? Even though I think everyone liked Christian McCaffrey as a player, it just came down to, does he do enough with the ball in his hands, both as a running back and as a receiver, to warrant that type of a pick? I know it's super early, but when you compare him to other guys who may project similarly to contributions they may make in the NFL, like Alvin Kamara, Tariq Cohen, don't you feel like maybe somebody that brings what McCaffrey brings to the table could have been had lower in the draft but brought you pretty much the same contributions?
Yeah, especially if you're talking about Carolina's offense, that they're just not built to utilize him correctly. That's not an offense that's going to get a lot of value out of Christian McCaffrey. If he went to somewhere like the Saints or like the Patriots or like someone that was going to use him in a creative role that has a role for a slot receiver heavily in their offense, then all of a sudden I think his value, you know, is actually where he was drafted, that there, that he could provide that sort of value. But like you said, that position, the slot position, can be filled by a lot of guys. That sort of move running back, the, you know, the Darren Sproles, like you mentioned, the Tariq Cohen, the Alvin Kamara, that can be filled by a lot of guys. And while I think Christian McCaffrey was still the best at it, and I think still is the best at it in this class, that's not an offense that's going to utilize him in that role. And so I just think it was – I don't think it's too early to call it a bad pick. It's just not going to work out as long as they have Cam Newton and that style of offense in Carolina.
I'm gonna flip sides, and John, feel free to flip to wherever you want for the next question. But I definitely wanted to hit on something that Mike, I've seen you tweet about a lot over the last couple of weeks, and that is kind of this cornerback class, and specifically Marshawn Lattimore, guys like Trey White. I mean, there have been a lot of players to write plenty of things about, get excited about. So there's been a lot of hype around some of these guys. You know, who have been some of your favorites? Who were your, some of your favorites before the draft even? And what have you seen kind of in the early parts of some of these guys' careers who are already being thrusted into playing time early on?
Yeah, I loved Marshawn Lattimore coming out. To me, he was as good a prospect as Jalen Ramsey, just maybe even better as a pure cornerback prospect, I thought. He just could do it. Like, there really were no weaknesses in his game. The biggest weakness was his hamstrings, which no one really has ever had their career just completely derailed by a hamstring injury. So I wasn't worried about that at all. I thought it was crazy that the Jags passed on him in the top five, because they could have had an all-time defense this year if they had Marshawn Lattimore in there. You don't even come off a nickel with those three guys. That would have been unbelievable to watch. But the Saints got a steal. Like, the Saints defense over the past 3 weeks has been legit because Marshawn Lattimore is a true number one corner at this point. I don't think it's a stretch to say he's a top 10 cornerback in the NFL right now, just the way he's playing. I love that guy. And then Tre'Davious White, I didn't expect him to be this good this soon, but he's been, outside of that one play against the Bengals where he just got caught looking and sitting on an AJ Green, you know, hitch or comeback, he's been lights out ever since. I think he leads the NFL in pass breakups in our stat collecting, has allowed a completion percentage under 50%. He's been great. He was the number two cornerback on my board. And then Jordan Lewis, I got to give a shout out to Jordan Lewis because I loved him coming out, even though he was slow, undersized, and a man corner, which usually that doesn't work. He's actually done well in Dallas, I thought, even sans the touchdown to Yale to Devontae Adams. He played the one great before that, but I think he has five pass breakups in our stat collecting. He's allowing completion percentage of 60%. He's been probably the best rookie corner there in Dallas.
We have to ask about him because Trevor will be upset if we don't, and I don't want to move to another position and ask about another position before we ask about him. But Malik Hooker, a lot of people, they loved the ball skills coming out. Some people hated the tackling. They thought he was overrated. It seemed like people were one end or extreme or the other with him, thinking he'd be a good single high guy, but didn't trust him as a tackler, didn't trust him in run support. Thought he took too many chances in coverage. I know some people talked to me about that. I think he's been really impressive. There's still the moments for sure where you see him get cooked, but I think he's done some really impressive things as well. What's been your impressions of Hooker so far, and were you high? Where were you at on the Hooker spectrum heading into the draft?
Yeah, he was my number two safety. I still had Adams ahead of him, just in terms of Adams was safer in my opinion. Yeah. I thought Adams just a complete all around player. Hooker, the biggest thing you mentioned, it was to me the biggest downside to him was the risk taking. It paid off sometimes, but it's like safety is the position where you take a risk and it doesn't pay off, and that's a big play. That's an 80-yard touchdown, and he gave up one against the Titans, and that, you know, those are plays where it depends on your philosophy on defense. If you're an aggressive defense that's trying to make a lot of interceptions, yeah, you'll live with a guy like Hooker, and that's perfect for your defense. If you're someone where you know, a defense like the Steelers, someone who's not trying to just limit big plays.
Right.
You don't want a guy who's taking risks like that. You want a guy who's going to be a little more assignment sound. So it really depends on your defensive philosophy. But as you mentioned, he's been that playmaker at times. I think he has three picks already. He's been a guy who's making plays from the deep middle of the field and has rare ability to do that. You just hope that in time he can develop a sort of sense to when to take those risks and when not to. So I'm a fan of him. Like, I thought they got a steal where they did get him in Indianapolis. So he's been everything as advertised, I think, so far.
Now, we haven't been able to talk about Myles Garrett a ton because obviously he was hurt for the beginning part of it and he just kind of came around. I'm curious, did you watch, you know, the first game that he played, the little action that he's had this year? And just because John and I really haven't been able to get a look at him because it's been such a short time that he's on the field, have you been able to look at him and get a read on what he's been like in his first action in the NFL?
Yeah, I watched him extensively in preseason and then the last couple games here, and he's the real deal. Like, there's, he just has some snaps where it's like, oh my, like that. He just, he's like, he looks like a, I don't know how to describe it. He just looks like a giant of a man doing things that I couldn't even, you know, that like that cornerbacks do. Mm-hmm. Just the way he moves is unbelievable. I think he had a rush where, was it James Carpenter? Who was the guard he was going against? I can't remember.
Yeah, James Carpenter. Yeah.
Him. Yeah, he didn't touch him. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. Like, just doing things with his body that normal human beings cannot do. He's like, he looks like future friend. He looks like, or he's already on the Von Miller, Khalil Mack level.
It's been kind of a slow start for this edge rushing class, partially because Garrett, I think, you know, being hurt to start the year kind of got things off to a slow start. He was obviously the most talented guy in the class. And then Carl Lawson was kind of in a part-time role for Cincinnati. There's some other guys coming on. I know they've played some snaps. I've seen the sacks for those guys. I haven't seen a ton of their snaps, but like Tack McKinley and Charles Harris and Derek Barnett. Any thoughts like on those guys, even if just bullet point style thoughts on a lot of those edge rushers? Because I know they've played in roles so far, but not heavy enough roles for us to really have a great feel for them. And I don't know if maybe you've seen some of their snaps and could provide any insight into maybe what's holding them back from a bigger role or why they've gotten more snaps as of late.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, so Solomon Thomas was probably, in my opinion, the biggest disappointment of any rookie so far. He's just, I don't know what it is, if it's just play speed or I don't know what it is, but he just looks like a different guy. He looks like a different guy than what we saw at Stanford in terms of his attacking, in terms of what he's, you know, like the explosiveness that he's playing with. He just seems like timid, which is interesting because that was not him at Stanford whatsoever. And it is not graded out well for us at all. And he's playing, I think he's played the most snaps of any of those rookie defensive linemen edge guys. So that's not great, but it's still obviously early in his career. Things could turn around. But the guy I love, I actually had higher than Thomas coming out, who's not, I just thought would be better also, is Derek Barnett. Probably second biggest disappointment for me, Derek Barnett. I thought with that Philadelphia defensive line, he's, you know, not going to get really any attention paid to him because you're not going to swing towards him when you have Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Timmy Jernigan, and really hasn't taken over as even a full-time starter. I think, you know, Vinnie Curry is still getting snaps over him, which that's concerning. And then when he has gotten snaps, has not been a productive as I would expect. I thought he was going to be like we're seeing from Carl Lawson. I thought he was going to step in right away and be a guy who could beat left tackles in the NFL. Hasn't been that guy, though.
You just named kind of your guys that haven't lived up to maybe the bill that you had pre-draft. What are a handful of guys that, I guess, have over-exceeded what you thought, whether they were drafted in the first round, day two, day three, whatever? What are a couple of guys who you maybe are seeing production of now that you were just like, wow, did not see that one coming? And you might have named a couple earlier, but just kind of expound upon that if you have any other ones.
Guys I didn't see coming who are now playing well. I'm trying to think who off the top of my head. Gosh, nothing
like,
really coming to mind.
Like a great fit or something or something like that, that either on the offensive or defensive side of the ball that you thought, like, man, he is playing. Like, I mean, Watson was one for you right there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Watson,
you
definitely.
You like Watson, you know? Just like something like that.
I'm trying to think.
Kendall Beckwith was one for Trevor.
Oh, you know what? I was going to say Garrett Bowles, I thought, was another guy who would struggle in terms of right away. I had him as a second rounder, but he's had issues, but I thought he was going to be like liability year one just because of what his just a lot of issues he had in pass protection. He had just this incredibly wide base and would just dive at edge rushers. I thought that once you get to the NFL, he was going to get exploited a lot, and just really hasn't. That looks like he's cleaned that up and done a good job of doing that over the course of the offseason. So I think that to me is, if I had to say a guy who has overperformed what I thought would be year one, probably Garrett Bowles. Even though he hasn't been as good as the tackle class was a year ago, he's been just solid, I'll say.
Ever since we started this podcast, people always ask us for advice. Whenever you start an NFL podcast or in the film or in the arena, we always get people asking you, who do we bet on this week? Patriots or Steelers, Chicago or Detroit, maybe Kansas City, Oakland tonight might be one to lay down some money on. Well, let me tell you guys this. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts, just 2 business days. You know who's going to win, so lay down some cash and win big today. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us, those that we know, and other listeners that have sounded off about how great MyBookie has been for them. That's why we're urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Trevor and I will have the MyBookie lines for the NFL games tomorrow. We'll pick them and tell you how you should spend your money this weekend. You choose whether to listen to us or not. The discretion is advised. Mike, one of my highlights of getting on Twitter is watching the Pro Football Focus guys battle with the O-line Twitter guys about certain players or prospects or how they performed in the NFL. It's always a hoot to me because both sides are passionate, man. And if one guy, Pro Football Focus guys, come running out of the woods, like if somebody says something to you, there goes Steve, there goes all the Pro Football Focus guys walking in. Everybody wants a piece of the action. It reminds me of the Anchorman scene when the news groups are having their battles. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, we all go grab our weapons.
But it cracks me up. But one guy that has generated so much disagreement is Cam Robinson. Pro Football Focus seems to be on the side that Robinson is just this seesaw experience, this roller coaster ride at left tackle, who it doesn't consistently play well really across the board. And correct me if I'm wrong on that. And then the O-line Twitter guys see a guy with incredible potential who's playing well compared to rookie standards for a tackle. I'm one of those guys, I guess. I don't know if I'm O-line Twitter, but I feel like Cam Robinson's played really well compared to expectations that I maybe had for him. Or maybe that other anybody had for him coming in, because he was some up and down in college, but the traits, and everybody on O-line Twitter wants to bank on the traits and the nastiness and the physicality and those things. Where are you at in this battle between these guys, and where are you at with Cam Robinson, and how do you kind of view just the different perspectives in this war on Cam Robinson that it seems to be waging for, it's been over a year now, it's been a long time where you guys have been fighting about Cam Robinson.
Oh yeah. If offensive linemen really knew what translated to the NFL, really knew what made a good offensive lineman, we wouldn't draft guys like Greg Robinson and DJ Fluker. They wouldn't need us, they wouldn't need us at Pro Football Focus to help them out. So there is like an in-between. There still really is no hard and fast formula on how a guy will translate to the NFL. Cam Robinson, I think his biggest issue in college is still sort of an issue now, and that was just lackadaisical reps. Having reps that really are just costly, whiffing on blocks and having blocks where it just looks like he's uninterested. And you still see that to some degree here in the NFL. He still has a couple or 2 or 3 blocks a game where he whiffs. And the thing about offensive line play is it's about, in our opinion, consistency. It, down in, down out, not having that ugly rep, not whiffing and getting your quarterback killed, things like that. Mm-hmm. And Cam Robinson just still isn't consistent. I can watch his highlights till the sun comes up. There he has a lot of very good blocks. When he does do everything correctly, it looks very pretty, and he has all the traits to be a successful left tackle in the NFL. But again, in our opinion, tackling the NFL is more about consistency. Whereas I can see him developing into a good offensive tackle. I think a lot of us here at PFF said that, but he's still coming along. He still has, like I said, he still has a handful of bad reps a game.
Yeah, he was a polarizing prospect for a lot of people, I felt like, coming in. Last question for you, Mike, we wanted to ask you about was the tight end class, because it was just such a heralded class coming in. There was so much buzz, so much conversation about it. You know, a lot of people, myself, I had three first rounders in the class. You know, they all went in the first round. And so, you know, those were guys that I thought could come out and have great starts to their NFL career. And it's been, I think it's been actually as expected to a little degree, because Cameron Brate's there in Tampa Bay and O.J. Howard's played, but you're never going to be featured weapon, I don't think, right away when you have that group of skill players around you. And then Evan Engram with the Giants, I think he's probably seen the most production, but also isn't really used the best, maybe, I think, by Ben McAdoo. And then Dane Njoku's had to deal with, you know, not having any other weapons around him, poor quarterback play, all those things, but I think he still flashed quite a bit. And so where were you at with these guys pre-draft and heading into the draft, and then how do you feel like they've performed so far?
Well, I'll just say, for probably 28 of the 32 teams in the NFL at any given time, drafting a tight end in the first round or second round, just they will not have value. They will not bring value to the offense. Like, it is a position where you either utilize it a ton or you don't. And if you don't, it's just not going to have a ton of value. Like, it's not going to. We saw what Jimmy Graham did to Seattle's offense, and that's absolutely nothing. It doesn't. It's not. It's just where the position is on the field, and what it does to a defense, it doesn't really do much for you if you're not going to feature it in your offense. So anytime when I saw a guy like O.J. Howard go in the first round in Tampa Bay, David Njoku to Cleveland, I was just thinking you could get a guy of similar talent later in the draft, similar to your talk about McCaffrey. It's just not going to do much for you. And I think we've seen that with Tampa Bay. We've seen that with the Giants. We've seen that with Cleveland. Those guys aren't really going to bring value to the table right away unless you start planning your offense around the tight end position, which now the Giants have to without any wide receivers. But I do think that those guys are sort of bound to struggle with just the places that they went to.
I think there's very much some truth to what you're saying. Counter is the wrong word, but I would also add, I guess, that more teams should feature their tight ends in their offense.
Yeah,
especially if there's those weapons, you know.
But it's like you don't draft them to then plan around them. Like, you should have the plan in place first, and then, you know, the chicken and the egg argument.
Exactly. 100% agree. And I feel like that's, you know, it's true for a lot of positions. I feel like a lot of teams draft a guy because they like him, but they just expect him to plug in. Like, for example, Giants and Evan Engram, like, they just want to use him like a regular tight end and think that it'll automatically become a big part of their offense. You know, well, that just doesn't work that way. You know, flex him out, get him stacked releases, do creative things with him. I mean, Kansas City with Travis Kelce is a great example. Last 2 years, I feel like they've put him on the backside of 3-by-1 formations and, you know, just done so many things with him to isolate him and gain coverage and to maximize his potential in their offense, especially vertically. You know, New England's always done that with Rob Gronkowski for years, but you're right. Unless you have a plan in place for these guys, I think they're special talents, but you're not going to be able to maximize what they offer either. So, yeah, I think that's
exactly.
Really, really good point. Mike, really appreciate you coming on the show, man. You can follow him on Twitter at PFF_Mike. He does really great work for Pro Football Focus, and really appreciate you taking the time, Mike, and coming on the show, challenging Trevor's hair game, and just bringing us good nuggets in general.
Yeah, too bad it wasn't on video. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, though, guys.
Agreed. We will be back tomorrow, Trevor and I. We will talk more about the prospects and more than anything, kind of give you a look at the NFL games, pick a couple of those and talk about maybe rookie performances that we're looking forward to seeing this weekend, and maybe take a question or two from you guys as well. I know we haven't gotten to quite as many of those recently, but we'll try to get to a couple of those as well. One of the other cool things that Mike Renner does, by the way, folks, that I wanted to mention, he goes on the Locked On NFL podcast on Wednesdays, right, Mike?
Correct.
On Wednesdays with Matt Williamson, and they talk NFL and cover a lot of ground. So make sure you guys check out the Locked On NFL podcast, especially on Wednesdays when Mike joins Matt. And one of the other cool things we're doing that we've been talking to you guys a ton about is the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. It's a $40 value, and if you go to our iTunes and leave us a review and a rating and include your Twitter handle, we're going to pick one show per winner per week to potentially come away with that Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. I use mine all the time. It is an absolutely invaluable resource to me. The charting information, you know, Mike and I argue about player grades all the time on there, but the player grades are so cool to have to refer to at the very least. we talk about the advanced stats that Pro Football Focus tweets and the advanced stats that they have on college prospects, you just can't get anywhere else. The stuff that they do and the work they provide is really invaluable. So just go to our iTunes page, leave a review, include your Twitter handle, and you could be entered a chance to win one of those Edge subscriptions. It just has a ton of great stuff on them. So thanks so much for following along and for joining us. Check in tomorrow with Trevor and I. We'll give you the lines on the games from mybookie.ag. This was a Thursday edition of Locked On NFL Draft, brought to you by mybookie.ag. Get into all the action with mybookie.ag, where they will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.